Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Lord, as we sang your praises today, as we spoke your praises, even in the time of when we were offline for a few minutes, Lord, we give you thanks that you have blessed us. We ask that you would bless those who are watching online, those who are tuning in later on this week. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your spirit, fill us with understanding, with grace, with peace, with power. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We've been in a series, and it's kind of a series that happens once a month, and sometimes we skip a month, right? You know, I've been in the series of the altars in Genesis, and you say, are we done with that yet? And no, we're not done with it yet, and I believe the Lord has a message for us today. This week has been stressful, busy, crazy, and all that happening, and I'm here like, Lord, I'm supposed to be preaching, and I was looking at Genesis 19, and I was looking at Genesis 20, and the Lord goes, you're skipping Genesis 18. I'm there. And I'm here like, oh, you're back in Genesis. Yeah, you're skipping, and you don't skip. And I said, yes, Lord, I go back, and then I open up the word, and it just like, whoo, it is powerful. But I want to review because I think sometimes we forget. First one, we started out in Genesis chapter 4. And actually, the Lord told me the last message of this series. I'm here like, oh, that's okay. So I when I get to the last message, I will know because I actually have to go back to Genesis 2. And I'm here like, oh, I have to go back. But that's beside the point. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what God's been talking to me about. So whenever and if I ever get done with the altars in Genesis, I know where we're ending with the series. But the sacrifice of Cain of Abel, we learned that we offer God from our first fruits, not our leftovers. Then in part two, we talked about Noah's sacrifice, the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, and I was all excited about that, but the Lord says you can't really have Thanksgiving unless you finish your ark, and some of you are not working on your ark, some of you quit the ark, and the Lord says, hey, get back to work on the ark so we can have a sacrifice of Thanksgiving. And so that was part two. Part three, we have God's call to Abram and his return, kind of like we walk with God, and then we kind of get distracted and we fall away. And in Genesis chapter 13, there was a famine. Abraham goes to fix it himself. He goes get food himself. He kind of sells out his wife in a bad way. And then he comes back to the altar in Genesis 13 and gets back on track with the Lord and with those types of things. So I call that the altar of the call, but offering of the return. And then we go to the altar of what I'm calling material surrender and blessing. This is when Abram goes out on the hill with Lot and says, hey, you see everything in front of you. And Lot goes, huh, that's the good part. Uncle, I'm taking the good stuff. You can have the hills. You can have the places with no water. You can have the stuff that I don't want. You get the... And the Lord, Abram offers a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord says, I want you to know all of this is yours. Very powerful. When we give up our material things, things that we hold on to and put others first, God will bless us. Then part four is honoring God with our tithe, honoring God with the first 10%. And God says, if you honor me with the first 10%, I will take care of the last 10%. And so that is in Genesis chapter 14. But what I found awesome about that is when Abram's coming back from war, Melchizedek gives Abram at the time, his name's not changed yet, wine and bread, a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper, which I find fascinating. I just love how Jesus shows up throughout the whole Old Testament. I just find that incredible. Part five, Abram makes a covenant with God, Genesis chapter 15, And what Abram says to God is, hey, if I don't keep my word, may I be like those animals cut in half, right? And then God comes through in a torch and goes between those same animals and says, if I don't keep my word, may I be like those animals on either side. And God makes a covenant with Abram at the time. And then he changes his name also in chapter 15 from Abram to Abraham, and he changes Sarah from Sarai to Sarah. Then part 6, we talked last time. You guys all like, we're talking about circumcision here. Oh no, let's, about the marks of being a believer, about no turning back, about going to a place with God and saying, I'm going with you no matter what. Even if I lose part of my body, even if I lose whatever, I am going with the Lord, totally surrendered. So where are we today? I'm going to call this part, and I told my wife last night, oh my goodness, it's too long. So I don't know. It's the altar of difficulties and mercies. Altar of difficulties and mercies. And you say, oh, let's open up the word. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 18, if you will turn there. I want you to know, I feel all tied up again. I want you to know that as we go about our everyday lives, Jesus is walking there with us. And sometimes we totally forget about it. That Jesus is actually showing up. Like you with the police officer, Jesus was there walking beside you, and he was ministering to both of you. He was there. And sometimes we forget about that in our everyday lives. We're going about our everyday, doing our everyday thing, and Jesus shows up. And I want you to know, this is awesome. In this passage, Jesus shows up to Abraham before he was even born. Think about that for a second. Jesus shows up to Abraham before he's even born. You see, the Lord has been talking to Abraham for years now. He hears God's voice. He talks. And in this passage, he actually sees God. You say, no. Well, let's look at it. You say, well, I don't recall that. I don't recall Jesus showing up in Genesis chapter 18. Well, I am saying I believe Jesus has shown up. Now, it says God shows up in man form. And the only person that I know is that God in man form is who? He's the only one I know. But it could be back in Genesis 18 that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit showed up as those three. But most people think Jesus is one and two angels are the other. We do not know. But you can read along with me, but you will see in the text that the Lord starts talking. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. It's a long passage, and we're gonna go through it. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby, and when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent and met them and bowed low to the ground. And he said, if I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, and I just want you to know that Lord is just the common lowercase Lord. It's Adonai. It's not talking about God. Do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought. Then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent and to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flours and knead it and make some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to his servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. And while they ate, they stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord, notice in the top, it's all capital letters. When you see that in your Bible, that is the personal name for God of Yahweh being used, that all of a sudden something happened. There is a transform, and God himself, Jehovah, is speaking. And he says, "The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, and it was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old, well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the ways of the Lord by doing what is right, and just so that the Lord will bring about Abraham what he has promised." Then the Lord said, "An outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and the sins are so grievous, that I will go down and see what they have done is as bad as their outcry has reached me. If not, I will know." And the men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And Abraham approached them and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people living in it? For far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous and the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will you not, the judge of all the earth, do what is right?" And the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold to speak to the Lord, and though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" "If I find 45 people there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" And he said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if there's 30 can be found there?" And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And Abraham said, "Now that I have seen and been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry. Let me speak just once more. What if 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Heavenly Father, open up your word to us today. May we have ears to hear, eyes that see. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us, so clearly, just like you spoke to Abraham many years ago. Would you speak to us today? Send your Holy Spirit to anoint me. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we get this, right? Abraham is sitting at his tent, sitting there watching, and he looks up and he sees three strangers, three men standing away underneath the tree, trying to get out of the sun. They've been traveling, and Abraham is, my wife says, Abraham's just like my husband, because we have lots of people through our doors. I come in and say, hey, hunt, can I have so-and-so over? Can I have this over? And more people come, and my wife knows what it's like to have a husband that says, hey, we're having company. And she knows what it's like to have company that she doesn't know and we don't know. She's married to me a long time. But I forgot to bring the bread. I was supposed to bring bread because I'm the bread maker in the house. So when Abraham goes and says to Sarah, go get the flour and go make bread, I know how long that takes because I do it twice a week almost. I know how much it takes. You know, I take 4 cups of hot water and I put it in. I put 3 teaspoons of yeast and I put it in. Then I'm supposed to put I think it's 3/4 of a cup of sugar, and I cheat with honey and different stuff, and I throw that in for the sweetener to make the things grow. And then I put 1 teaspoon of salt in, and then I start putting flour in and I mix it. I know it takes me to make bread probably 4 to 6 hours, because I do a double raise. Now, if I didn't do a double or triple raise, I think I could make bread in about 2 hours, maybe. Depending how quick the bread rises, and maybe I could throw in extra yeast. I haven't tried that yet. I don't know. But that means that while Sarah's making bread, Abraham and the three men are sitting there chatting. How's the weather? How's your family? Where are you from? Where are you going? Right? So there's a long time that's happening here. And then Abraham goes and tells somebody to kill a calf. That I haven't done, but you've killed a deer, right? How long would it take for you to kill the deer, take the meat, and get it to on the table, right? So this is not a short little interruption. Just like last week, yesterday, we had 20 people at our house for Thanksgiving. And guess what? My wife started a long time ago and was working all this stuff, making bread, this, making pan, making apple pies, making pecan stuff, getting butternut squash and sweet potatoes, all the, you know, it takes a long time to prepare a meal. And well, these three strangers, Abraham looks out and he gets to moving. How are we doing about hospitality as a church, as Christians, as individuals? You say it's COVID. We don't let people in our houses. That's true. But how are we doing with hospitality? How are we doing with the stranger on the side? And it's a tough one. He comes out and he bows before them. He doesn't know who they are. He has no clue who those three men are. You could tell it by some of the interactions. What does Jesus say? Right, that's true. But what does he say about when you've done it unto the... least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. That means just last week when I took somebody from the island and I went and I took him to Salvation Army store and I took him out to eat for his 59th birthday. When I did that, I was doing it for who? It was my day off. But Jesus was on the side of the road. Jesus needed my help. My Bible tells me that when I've done it to the least of these, I've done it to Jesus. And now we are back in, before Jesus was even born. And Jesus shows up with Abraham. I find it awesome. I am here like, wow. look what he says in verse 3. He says, if I have found favor in my sight, Lord, do not pass your servant. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest underneath this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, and then you can go on your way. Jesus says that if anyone gives a cup of cold water in my... And we look at this and we see Abraham doing exactly what the Lord Jesus has asked us all to do, isn't it? Is it any surprising that the Lord is showing up? Christian, when you're open and loving to others in your home, when you're open and loving to those at your workplace, when you're open to loving those online kids who are watching at school, when you are serving others, you are serving who? Jesus. That's what my Bible tells me. Old and New Testament. When you're eating lunch, you know, I've been thinking about this is, you know, when I was a kid, I made three Fluffernutter sandwiches. And then when I went to school, but it was all about me. What I should have done as a kid, I should have made five or six Fluffernutter sandwiches and just gave them away. But what I did is I traded for somebody's milk. I traded somebody for somebody's hot meal. And then I ate one myself. I was a business person. But as believers, we need to be paying attention because people are hurting. You know, if you're sitting at work and you look around and you see other people's meals not that great, ask the Lord saying, should I share what I have? Should I make a little extra? I mean, you ought to see my house every Sunday. It's crazy. The teens just love being with their youth pastor, so they just show up. And some of them are just, some are really polite. They say, can we come over today? I'm here like, yes, some just show up. And that's okay, because guess what? The Lord says, if I've done it to the least of these, we've done it to Jesus. So he gets some curds and milk. I'm here like, wow, did he milk them? How did he do that? And ladies, I just want you to remember, when we're reading this, Sarah's not putting her bread dough in a GE thing where you can put it to 350 and wait for it to beep, and then it's at the right time, and you can put it in and set the timer. No, she has to warm up a stove oven, get that hot, get the wood, and keep throwing the wood on and make it. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes here in this passage, right? And Abraham and the three men are talking. And while they're talking, the scripture doesn't say the Lord says this, right? Let me double check. They asked them, right? It says, where is your wife Sarah? So I have a couple questions. One is, her name has been Sarai for a long time until the previous chapter, right? Now it's Sarah. Did Abraham tell the men the names of his wife, or did God kind of reveal to Abraham, I know who your wife is, and I know her real name. Her real name is Sarah, the one that I gave her. And Abram says, she's in the tent. She's in the tent behind them. And she, unbeknownst to Abraham, but known to the Lord, is eavesdropping in on the conversations happening in that tent. And all of a sudden, she hears the Lord. She hears the Lord. Look at verse 10. The Lord says, I will surely return about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And she goes, that's news to me, Buster Brown. You might not have seen me yet. I'm in the tent. You might think that Abraham married a second wife, a young whippersnapper. It's me. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that Sarah is me, and I know my body. I've been in menopause for a while, and I know that's not going to happen. She realizes it's not a dream. But here is a man telling her the dream that she had all her life. It was to have a child. And she is finally hearing that she's going to have a child, which has been her desire all her life. She actually made some incredible sacrifices. Sacrifices that no woman should ever, ever have to make. And she's hearing it. She's been waiting for years to be expecting. And the Lord finally tells her when and where. In less than a year, you're going to have a kid. And she laughs. She did the same thing Abraham did. Do you remember? Last chapter, right? Last chapter, God tells Abraham he's going to have a son, not through Ishmael, but not through Hagar, but through Sarai. And Abraham himself laughed inside. They both laughed inside. But I want you to know the difference. And I want you to pay attention to the difference. When Abraham laughed inside, it was not that he didn't believe the Lord. It was, I'd rather have you give the blessing to Ishmael, not the new one. When Sarah heard it, it's like, God, you can't do this. This is impossible. Not only that, she was eavesdropping in on a conversation, and God heard her laugh in her head. This tells us a lot about God. He knows every thought you and I are thinking. You know those thoughts that we think he doesn't pay attention to? I'm just human. He's listening. He's paying attention. And you know what? Here's the good news. God is trustworthy with all of our thoughts. Even our crazy ones. Even the crazy ones of unbelief and doubt. But you know what? Jesus calls us out on it. He says, why did you laugh? And she lied. I didn't laugh. She had fear. And the Lord was trying to give her an incredible gift. Sarah laughed. It was one of disbelief. But I want you to pay attention to verse 13 and 14. It says, why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child now that I am old? is anything too hard for the Lord? And I want us to concentrate on anything too hard for the Lord. Because I think God has some things for us. We have some things in our heads and our heart that is too difficult for God. And the Lord wants to talk to you about that today. Not between you and me, but between him and you. There are things in your hearts and your minds that you think are too difficult. Maybe it's a parent that's too difficult and that it's not going to work out. Maybe it's something as hard and difficult as making your mortgage payment this month. You're looking at the income, you're looking at the outcome, and you're saying, this is too difficult, God, you can't do it. It may be that you're having an issue with a son or daughter, and you guys are not talking. In fact, you haven't talked for a couple of years. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'm talking to somebody online, and you are saying it's too difficult for you. Now, you know, I'm going to get into politics. Now, you know, if Biden is president, then it's too difficult for God. And then for the liberal Christians, hey, if Biden is if Trump is president, it's too difficult for God. We believe it's too difficult for God, and God is saying, who died and made you judge over what I can do or can't do? This is good news today, folks. This is awesome news. Because there's things that you're telling God that is too difficult for him to do, and God has this question for you, and he's asking you to answer this question. Is there anything too difficult for me? I am the one that made Nebuchadnezzar walk around like a cow for 7 years, and I'm the one that put him back into power after he was humbled. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? That's why this is the altar. I love this altar. One is Abraham and Sarah made an altar and they had no idea that it was an altar. They didn't know it was God showing up. They didn't know that they sacrificed a cow, a calf, and fed it to the Lord himself as an offering. They had no idea. And friends, I believe the Lord is showing up in all of your lives, and you have missed him sometimes. He's shown up in another person, in this or that. He has walked beside you, and he has ministered to you. And he's saying, I'm here. This altar is one of those phenomenal altars because you didn't even know it. But then all of a sudden Jesus shows up and you leave the place feeling different. I love your illustration. I feel like it just goes along with it. I mean, it's beautiful. Here is a fear. God comes in. God meets you. Jesus walks with you. And you leave a totally different person because God was there. It's beautiful. I love it. Is there anything too difficult for him? Now let's get to the second part. Oh my goodness. Do I have time or should I come back next month and preach on the mercies of God? Are we good? Keep going. I'm saying keep going. Well, it should be kind of quick because God is saying, Christian, I have some things that's happening around you. You are looking around, and you know what I find phenomenal? Non-Christians, pre-Christians are telling you what's going on in their lives. They have kids on drugs. They have people stealing from them. You're listening to them on the phone or whatever. You have things going really bad in people's lives, and you're seeing this, and the Lord is saying, I want you to go to prayer for them, and I want you to pray, and I want you to pray because I am a merciful God. Look at the conversation with Abraham and God and Jesus. Abraham goes, I know Sodom and Gomorrah, they're really bad. I know Miami. I know New York City. I know San Francisco. I know Pittsburgh. I know what's happening in those cities, and it's not good. They call evil good and evil, and they call good evil. It is really bad in there, Pastor. It's really bad in, and maybe even in your family. Those people have rejected what God has said is good, and those types of things. And Abraham, who has the heart of God, is talking with Jesus, and he's in it looks like a bartering thing, doesn't it? 50, Lord. There's over several hundred or several thousand living there. There must be at least 50 people living there good. And he's thinking, I can't even come up with 50. What about 45? And then he goes, what about 40? What about 30? And he goes, God, don't get angry with me. Please don't get angry with me. What about 20? And he goes, one last time. What about 10? And the Lord says, if there's 10, I will spare the whole city. Now, most of us know the story. Maybe you don't know online, but online we find out that there was not even 10 in either city that were righteous. Not even 10. And I have a sneaky suspicion there was not even one. You say, what about Lot? Did you see what Lot did? Lot offered his daughters to be raped so that two strangers would not be raped. That's bad in my book. That's evil, horrible, terrible. Even Lot was not righteous. He was better than the other crazies. He was not the one out there doing it. But God in his mercy spared Lot and his family and brought them out of Sodom and Gomorrah before it was burned up and totally gone. God is a merciful God. So what does that tell me about this altar of mercy? Some of us have messed up royally and we think God can't use us again. That's not true. That's a lie from Satan. God loves you. He died on the cross for you. He has transformed your heart and your mind. He wants to make you new again. This altar here, one is you had no idea that it was an altar. Then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up, God shows up, and it becomes an altar. And then you find out that, hey, whatever's too difficult for me is not too difficult for him. And then you find out that God is so merciful. He is merciful for your families and for your loved ones. And he doesn't want a single one to perish. The scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says this: the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You want to know Jesus' heart? It's right there. You want to know God the Father's heart? It's right there. You want to know why he hasn't come back? It's right here. Because he is a merciful God, and he would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10. And I bet you if Abraham went down to one, God would have said, yeah, I'll spare the whole city for one. But the problem is he didn't even find one. Even the one that we knew of, the one that we thought had a chance. At least in my books, maybe I'm judging wrong. Maybe I've missed. But anybody that says, hey, rape my daughters and not these two, I think that's sin. Yeah, they're shaking heads out there. Yeah, that's not a righteous man. So, Jesus is saying there are some altars that he's showing up at your house, your place of work, and he's been showing up, I think, a lot more than you think. Two, you might want to make a little extra in your lunch bag if you're taking it to work. you might want to be paying attention and looking up out of your, you know, a lot of times we're looking only inside our tent. We need to look outside to our neighbors who need to know and love Jesus. We need to be prepared to, hey, go get some bread, go get kill the calf. I know it's not for your family. I know it costs you money. I know it all that kind of things has an expense. It does cost you labor and all of those types of things. But you know what? That's what the Lord is. You're entertaining the Lord if you've done it unto the what? The least of these, my brothers. And last but not least, we need to be praying like no tomorrow for our lost brothers and sisters in our families. We need to be praying for those in our community, those in our cities, and those in our nation, and those in our world that don't know Christ. We need to be pleading with them and saying, Lord Jesus, I know most of us are praying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And I'm praying that because the Bible tells me to pray that. But Jesus is saying, I want to come quickly, but I desire that none will perish, but all will come to a place of repentance. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this message that you have given us. And as we leave this place singing a song, I pray that you would encourage your people both online and here. Lord, that you have everything under control. Lord, that you have incredible love for us, that you actually show up in our everyday lives in a way that we can see and hear you. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you. I pray for those who are totally lost, those who have been deceived by the evil one, who think light is dark and dark is light. I pray that you would deliver them from their delusion and that you would protect them, that you would show them Jesus and how much Jesus loves them and cares for them. Lord, we just love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. Nothing is impossible with God. I want to leave you encouraged today. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine stretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Hey, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Thou, O God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy stretched arms. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Receive the benediction. May you go leaving this place knowing that nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord that you serve, who walks beside you, who walks in the everydayness of life. May you leave here knowing God's mercy for your neighbors, for your family, and your friends, knowing how much he loves you and his grace is available to all. In Christ's name, amen.